Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a shining and burning lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The Gospel of the Lord. Continue with that controversy after Jesus had healed the cripple for 38 years and what that provoked, because the Jews couldn't take that he had done this act of love on the Lord's day, as if the Lord takes a vacation from doing good on the Sabbath that he made to restore us in his image. Jewish logic was always that you couldn't self-testify. You can't just claim to be the Messiah. There has to be other witnesses who do it. And so Jesus started to take them straight on. Today he gives us five witnesses. It's interesting, the ones that Jesus chose, their witness was not given with an expiration date. It continues to testify to the Lord. And the church wants us to look at this fivefold witness so that through that witness we can come to become ever more united to Jesus through their testimony. But then from these five witnesses, we can learn how to become the great sixth witness. First witness, Jesus says, is John the Baptist. He was the precursor. He was the herald. "You sent emissaries to John," Jesus says, "and he testified to the truth. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But John indicated Jesus the Lamb of God. He decreased so that the Lamb might increase. But they didn't want to accept John's testimony." In St. Matthew's account of this temple dialogue, Jesus gets into a question when they said, "On what authority are you doing these things?" He said, "Before I answer that question, I'll ask you one. What was John's authority? Did he come from heaven or was he doing it on his own? What do you say? And they refused to answer the question. Because if John were from God, then they'd have to follow what John said. But if they said John wasn't from God, despite his asceticism, despite his obvious holiness, then the crowds would turn on him because the crowds knew that he was a prophet. So John the Baptist's witness is the first. That was the one God himself chose. And we can ask ourselves, if John points out Jesus specifically under the title of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, how efficaciously are we going to that Lamb to take away our sins and the sins of the world? Because in Lent, we likewise pray in reparation for all the sins committed. Second great witness are the works Jesus himself were doing, the miracles, the signs. Jesus says, "The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me." The Jews didn't want to accept this, the scribes and the Pharisees. We had last week, they're claiming that Jesus was working these miracles by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. They couldn't deny that the miracles happened, so that they were going to switch agency, as if the devil, in order to advance his kingdom, were going to be working these miracles so that people might have faith. Incredible. Totally illogical. But yet that's how hard-hearted they were to receive the witness of the miracles. Church continues this witness to this day. We can't know here on earth whether somebody who has died has gone to heaven. But the church accepts the witness of God when people pray through the intercession of a particular person who lived the Christian life heroically. And if God works an instantaneous, medically inexplicable, sustained miracle, because God's the only one who can do that, we accept that he's giving a witness that this person is at his right side, efficaciously interceding for whatever intention had been entrusted. God's miracles continue to testify to Jesus, because they're all done in Jesus' name. So the question for us in Lent is, are we accepting the witness of these miracles? First, all the physical miracles that the Lord continues to do, are we praying with greater insistence for them? But then also the big miracles that we can miss, the miracles of the sacraments, the great miracle of our baptism, which is a greater miracle than the raising of Lazarus, great miracle of the sacrament of confession, great miracle of miracles, which is the Sacramentum Caritatis of the Holy Eucharist. The great miracle that God listens to us in prayer. The great miracle that we are believers. The works that Jesus continues to perform continuously testify to who he is. Third witness Jesus describes is sacred scripture. You search the scriptures, he said, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But he says, you don't want to accept them because you don't want to come to me to have life. Sacred scripture points to Jesus. There are over 1,000 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And all 1,000 point to Jesus. And yet they didn't want to accept it. So often they're kind of like Herod and the scribes who were around Herod at Jesus' birth. Even though Bethlehem was just 6 miles downhill from Jerusalem, they didn't want to budge to see if these wise men coming from afar were actually being led accurately to the long-awaited one. Sacred scripture continues to testify on Jesus' behalf. They are the words of eternal life when they lead us to the Word of eternal life, because they're intrinsically connected. This Lent, are we taking more seriously the incredible gift of sacred Scripture? We might not have more time to meditate on it because of the ones that the Lord is sending you in great number. But with the little time that we have, with the sacred Scripture that we ponder in the Liturgy of the Hours or in Mass, are we searching those Scriptures to find what we call the typological meaning, the meaning that comes to Jesus, that always leads us to Him, so that we can more firmly base our life on the rock of the Word that points to Him. Fourth great witness, he says, is Moses. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. That is the greatest of all the messianic prophecies, the one that was most important for a Jew, beyond the suffering servant Psalms, beyond the Psalms, beyond the Book of Wisdom, which we will hear tomorrow. It was Deuteronomy 18:15. There will be a one who will come after me, who will be like me. Make sure you listen to him, Moses says. So the Jews have been waiting for 1,300 years for that one to show up, who would be like Moses, that we need to listen to him. And especially if you follow St. Matthew's Gospel, St. Matthew's is all written to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of that Mosaic prophecy. Everything Moses did, Jesus does. Moses went up to the mountain and he came back with the Ten Commandments. Jesus goes up the mountain and he announces the new law, the Beatitudes. Moses led the people through that first Passover. Jesus will lead us through the new and eternal Passover. Moses, like in today's first reading, implores God to have mercy on his people. Jesus, from Calvary, does exactly the same thing and offers himself as that great prayer. Not just Moses' words, but Moses' whole vocation, mission, and life testify to Jesus. I think here to what we heard a couple weeks ago in Jesus' parable in St. Luke about the rich man and Lazarus at his gate, where Lazarus begs for... Sorry, where the rich man begs for Lazarus to be able to go to his brothers. And Jesus says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them risen from the dead, then they will believe. And Jesus, through Abraham's lips, says, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe should someone rise from the dead. They didn't believe Moses when Moses was testifying to Jesus. And we know that the same people who weren't going to accept Moses' testimony about Jesus, when Jesus finally did go back, risen from the dead, they bribed guards to say that while they were asleep, somehow they were able to watch thieves come and rip off Jesus' body and bring it to a place that nobody's been able to discover. Do we accept the testimony of Moses? Do we see Jesus as the fulfillment of all God had implanted in the Jewish heart to long for with Moses? Do we see we need Jesus way more than the Jews needed Moses to escape from slavery, to intercede so that their sins might be forgiven, to help them to truly to adore the Lord? Moses is that fourth witness who continues to testify. And the fifth and the last is the greatest. The Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form. You do not have his word remaining in you because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. The Father is that witness. They didn't accept his testimony. The testimony of God the Father came first at Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Didn't believe the witness on the Mount of the Transfiguration, which would eventually become known to all. This is my Son, my beloved. Listen to him, just like Moses said 1,300 years before. They wouldn't believe the witness God the Father will give on Holy Thursday when he says to his Son, I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again. But we could look that the Father was testifying to Jesus and all these other four signs that we have already noticed. He was the one who sent out John to give witness to his Son. He was the one who was working still and was working through all of Jesus' great miracles. He is the one who inspired sacred scripture. He is the one who met Moses in the burning bush and guided him. They didn't want to accept God's testimony, which is why Jesus said that the work that we must do is to believe in the one that the Father has sent. This is eternal life, Jesus says, to have that act of faith in the Father sending the Son. So important for us in the Lenten season to grow in this type of faith. In a lot of apologetic work, we need to know what a Catholic act of faith is. A Catholic act of faith is a belief in God who sent his Son, whom together sent the Holy Spirit, to guide the Church into all truth and prevent the Church from ever erring on something we need to believe or do to please God and enter into his life. And that Church, guided and founded in that manner, teaches X definitively for us to believe. And that's why we believe X. Thomas Aquinas would flip it. He would say that even if we agree with 99.9% of the stuff that's in the Catechism, if we know that the Church is teaching X and we say the Church is wrong, then that 99.9% we don't believe by faith. We believe for some other justification because it doesn't really challenge us. But we're not believing on that structure because the same structure that teaches us X teaches us that other 99.9%. So that's why it's absurd for somebody to say, for example, I believe in the Immaculate Conception, but I don't believe in the Church's teaching on abortion or contraception or in vitro fertilization. The same Church gives witness. The same trust in God working through the Church is required. You know, as a scientist, I have to ask the question, where did Jesus' Y chromosome come from? I have no idea. Was it a direct miracle? Was it something that happened to Mary's gametes? We have no idea. We accept it on the basis of our trust in God. There's witness here. We see this faith in Peter when he focuses on Jesus in the Eucharist. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Son of God. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I believe in what you said. Likewise, Martha, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of the Lord, he will grant you. Your brother will live. I know he will live. The resurrection in the last day. Then Jesus says, anyone who lives and believes me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? She says, I have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the one coming into the world. In both circumstances, they believed something on the basis of a trust in God. And that's the act of faith. So the essential path to eternal life is to believe in the Father who sent the Son, who revealed the Father, together with the Father, sent the Spirit, who guides the church still. This Lent, are we growing in faith to entrust our whole lives to the Lord who reveals? And the greatest revelation of all is, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Today, here at this Mass, we grasp that all five of these signs we encounter. John the Baptist continues to point out Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have God's greatest work of all, the incredible work of sanctification, which not only testifies to Jesus, but is Jesus. We have the witness of the Scriptures, all of whom point to Jesus. We have Moses saying, one will come after me who is like me. Listen to him. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy, the manna that Moses employed, the true manna come down from heaven. Finally, the Father likewise gives witness to Jesus, his Son, and through him gives witness to who we are. All five of these testimonies are meant to influence us so that we, receiving this witness and receiving the one testified to within, can go out and become that great sixth witness of Jesus in the middle of the world. That's what the Church, the Bride of Christ's most essential mission is. Praise be Jesus Christ.